in northern Minnesota. Join us at KAXE.org. And coming up in a bit, we are going to have the Up North Report, but a quick look at the weather. Today, it's going to be sunny with highs near 12 degrees, northwest winds 15 to 20 miles per hour, so it is going to be windy. Tonight, slight chance of snow in the morning, increasing clouds, lows near 2 degrees, south winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Thursday, snow likely, mostly cloudy, highs 27 to 32 degrees, south winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Evening lows around 12 degrees, and then Friday, patchy blowing snow before noon. Highs near 32 degrees, northwest winds, 18 to 22 degrees. And don't forget, we have our question of the week. What are your favorite games? You can text us at 218-326. Oh my gosh. 1234. We're talking card games, board games, any type of game you like to play. We want to hear from you. That number again is 218-326. 1234. Now it's time for the Up North Report.
For KAXE News, I'm Larissa Donovan with the Up North Report. The lead U.S. attorney prosecuting many of Minnesota's social services fraud cases is resigning. The Minnesota Star Tribune reported Tuesday that Joe Thompson is among several other top prosecutors resigning from the office. The move comes after top Justice Department officials have been pushing the Minnesota U.S. Attorney's Office to investigate Rebecca Good, the wife of Renee Good, who was shot and killed by ICE agent Jonathan Ross last week. The New York Times reported Monday that federal investigators are looking into the Good's possible connections to activist groups, in addition to the actions of Ross, prompting the resignation of six prominent prosecutors. Thompson was appointed Minnesota's interim U.S. attorney in May 2025 until Daniel Rosen took the office last October. During his brief tenure, he prosecuted those responsible for the sprawling Feeding Our Future scandal, as well as Vance Bolter, who shot and killed former House Speaker Melissa Hortman, her husband Mark, and dog Gilbert, and seriously injured State Senator John Hoffman and his wife Yvette in June. A Republican state lawmaker announced he has filed articles of impeachment against Minnesota Governor Tim Walz. Representative Mike Weiner from Long Prairie posted the articles of impeachment onto his Facebook page Monday. The document includes four articles justifying impeachment, alleging Walz is committing corrupt conduct and violating his oath of office. The articles allege Walz knowingly concealed widespread fraud in the state's Department of Human Services, interfered with oversight and investigation into the fraud, prioritized political narratives over disclosure of fraud, and allowed statutory safeguards to be ignored or weakened. In Minnesota, the House of Representatives has the sole power of impeachment through the concurrence of a majority of all its members. All impeachments are tried by the Senate, and a conviction requires a two-thirds majority. The impeachment articles come after some Republicans in the state have called on Walz to resign, which Walz has said he will not do. Two sitting senators on opposite sides of the aisle announced their intentions to seek re-election. State Senator Grant Hochschild will run for a second term representing the northeasternmost part of Minnesota. The Hermantown DFLer is the last Democrat representing rural northern Minnesota. He defeated Babbitt Mayor Andrea Zupancich by just over 700 votes in 2022. They'll likely face off once more this year in District 3 as Zupancich has also announced a campaign. Hochschild says his priorities include focusing on families, helping seniors retire with dignity, and growing the regional economy. District 7 State Senator Rob Farnsworth also announced a run. The neighboring district represents most of the Iron Range. The Hibbing Republican says his priorities include oversight and accountability measures to address fraud, lowering the cost of living, and supporting mining and job creation. The Hibbing School District has a new acting superintendent. In an emergency meeting Friday, the Hibbing School Board selected Carrie McDonald as the district's acting superintendent. McDonald comes from the district's current administrative team, serving as director of teaching and learning and the Blue Jacket Career Academy director. She previously served as principal of Greenhaven Elementary School in Hibbing. The move comes after Superintendent Rick Aldrich announced he would resign last week due to a health condition. For likely the first time ever, a high school hockey game will be broadcast in Ojibwe. Megan Buffington has the story.
Oh! On November 28th, Native American Heritage Day, the Minnesota Wild hosted a first-of-its-kind Ojibwe language broadcast. Inspired by the game, the Rock Ridge Indigenous Education Program reached out to the announcers, asking if they'd be interested in a trip to the Iron Range.
This is a huge, huge honor for them to come here to our community, and this is big for the Indigenous community.
Maria Potterzay is Rock Ridge's Indigenous Education Director. The Ojibwe broadcasts will cover the girls' game against Cloquet Esco Carlton on January 20th and the boys' game against Grand Rapids on January 30th. The games will be streamed on the Rock Ridge YouTube page and broadcast live on KBFT, Boys Fort Tribal Community Radio. Megan Buffington, KAXE News.
That's it for the Up North Report. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Larissa Donovan, telling the stories of northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is made possible by Woodland Bank, providing customers with personal and business banking solutions, as well as offering Kasasa checking accounts. You can learn more online at woodland.bank.
You are listening to the Wednesday Morning Show. I'm Andrew DeZingle. Coming up in a bit, we're going to hear more from Morning Edition. Excuse me. They're going to be talking about Trump Detroit, Trump public opinions check-in, and EPA pollution costs. That's coming up in just a moment. We receive support from ICTV. ICTV connects, informs, and empowers the community through diverse media. Learn more at watchictv.org. And we receive support from Minnesota Power, an elite company powering the elite company powering the region's homes, businesses, and industries since 1923. Learn more about its vision of a carbon-free future at mnpower.com/energyforward. And don't forget, later in the show, we are going to be talking about Back in Hack around 7:40, and then we're going to be talking about the Chocolate Walk in downtown Bemidji around 8:10. But around 8:45, we are going to be talking with a couple people from the Central Lakes College Performing Arts Center for Area Voices. They are doing a stage reading version of the play The Pillow Man. So that will be coming up in a bit. So it's kind of an interesting conversation because it's not your typical play. It is going to be a stage reading, but it issues its own challenges as well. So that conversation is coming up at 8:45 this morning.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep in Washington, D.C.
Jaime Martinez in Culver City, California. Voters say affordability is a top concern, so it makes sense that the economy is expected to be one of the main issues in this year's midterm elections.
President Trump has started traveling around the country giving speeches about the economy. He was at the Detroit Economic Club on Tuesday, although he did not exactly stay on topic.
And now, after less than 12 months in office, this is the easiest speech to make. I have great people, and all I'm doing is spewing off what the hell we've done. Even Venezuela wasn't too bad, was it, huh?
NPR's senior White House correspondent Tamara Keith is here to break it all down. Tam, the president is kind of proud of what he calls the weave. Is that what we just heard here?
Yes. Yes, it is. He was really all over the place in this speech, changing topics mid-sentence and boasting about being off the teleprompter 80% of the time. The speech included insults from more than half a dozen politicians, Republicans and Democrats alike. And then there was his impression of his predecessor.
Remember the speeches, Joe? First of all, they'd last a matter of seconds, you know. Thank you very much. You ever notice Joe would always cough before a speech? State of the Union, he gets,
And picture the president making contorted facial expressions to go along with the sound effects.
Okay, so beyond the impersonations, what did the president actually say about the economy?
First off, he said it is great. He boasted that grocery prices are, quote, starting to go rapidly down. That was on the same day that the government announced that in December, grocery prices had their biggest spike since 2022. He went into some detail about his view that when gas prices come down, other prices will come down as well. Of Fed Chair Jerome Powell, he said that jerk will be gone soon. And then he teased new proposals.
In the coming weeks, I will be laying out even more plans to help bring back affordability. And again, remember, that's a fake word by Democrats.
Prices were too high. They caused the high price.
And these regular riffs about affordability being a con job or a fake word really risk undercutting his message and are also out of line with the pain that people say they're feeling.
Trump mentioned laying out even more plans. Any idea what those plans are?
He said he's going to outline a proposal at the World Economic Forum in Davos next week to bring down home prices by getting private equity companies out of the U.S. housing market. And Trump has started talking about a plan to cap credit card interest rates at 10% for a year. Thus far, he is just talking about asking the companies to voluntarily make that change. And yes, these absolutely sound like ideas you've heard before from Democrats, not Republicans. Trump even called Senator Elizabeth Warren this week to talk ideas. But the response from Republicans on the Hill has been pretty tepid so far.
OK, now one other thing happened at the Ford truck plant that Trump toured before the speech, and it involved the president giving the middle finger.
Yeah, TMZ posted a video of the incident. Someone shouted what sounded like pedophile protector, presumably about the Epstein files. In response, Trump appeared to mouth an expletive, then gave the middle finger to the person who was shouting. In a statement, White House Communications Director Stephen Chung said, quote, "A lunatic was wildly screaming expletives in a complete fit of rage, and the president gave an appropriate and unambiguous response."
Okay, NPR's Tamara Key, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Well, what do voters think about the president's economic performance? Margie O'Meara joins us next. She's with the public opinion firm GBAO and a longtime strategist for Democrats. And we called her because she spends time in focus groups with voters. Margie, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome back. For those who don't follow this every day, what is a focus group? Why do you talk to voters that way?
Well, it's a great way to hear voters talk in their own words, answer questions in their own words, and tell personal stories. So we do them online since COVID, or we do them in person. You have, you know, between 5 to 10 people in a room or in a Zoom, just answering questions. And so we start with things that are pretty open, like fill in the blank. What's one word that tells you, you know, I think blank is going well in the country these days. How would you fill in the blank? And people have been saying for a while now, nothing. There's nothing going well. Or if push, they'll say, well, maybe television is going well. That's their sense of how the country is. And so when you ask people about their own lives and how they feel personally, they'll tell you really very specific, acute stories of economic struggle, like living with their parents or living with their kids or not being able to afford food or thinking of moving to a place where utility prices are lower or have to use a buy now, pay later app to afford dog food. I mean, we hear some really, really tough stories. People tear up or cry. I've had people had to leave the room because they get overwhelmed thinking about the pain that they're in. And so when you have the president say, affordability is not even a word, it just flies in the face of what voters tell me, you know, nearly every week.
The president also said inflation is defeated. I guess we should note it's lower than it was. Prices are still high for a lot of people. People don't feel better about prices?
No. I mean, you do hear some people talk about gas prices. That part you hear, but for the most part, people say things are not going well. And you have folks who are skeptical of the president who feel very, very strongly, and you have his supporters who feel, you know, conflicted. Maybe it's okay, or I wish he was better, or this was not what I was hoping for, or, you know, I was worried it would be this bad, and now it's actually worse. We hear a wide range of folks, even from his own supporters, and for sure we hear people across the board say that the costs are going up, and there's no sense that there's going to be stability around the corner. People they're not excited. They're not rooting for chaos.
Now, I want to ask about something else, because the president during his ramble yesterday also talked about the protests in Minnesota against his deployment of immigration agents and also, of course, the shooting of Renee Macklin Good. Let's listen to some of that.
And one of the reasons they're doing these fake riots, I mean, they're just terrible. I mean, you see, it's so fake. Shame, shame, shame. You see the woman. That's all practice. They go practice. They go to areas. They take hotel rooms and they all practice together. It's a whole scam. We're finding out who's funding all this stuff, too. We pretty much know.
I just want to remind people of the news as we understand it. federal prosecutors have resigned because they were told to investigate not the agent who shot Renee Macklin Good, but instead to investigate her widow, to try to find dirt on the widow. And of course, the administration has portrayed the agent as completely innocent in every way. How do people respond to that incident and the videos they may well have seen themselves in focus groups?
Yeah, well, we're still learning about where voters are on this. Polls show that people disapprove of the way ICE handled that situation. It has come up in focus groups we've done since the incident where people feel like, you know, disgusted and ashamed of what happened and outraged. And we'll see how that continues. I don't think that the president is offering anything to counter those feelings. You know, the fact that, I mean, it's just something that people have a very consistent reaction to. And when people say they've heard something negative about the president in the last week, we've seen in polling, that comes to the top. That's the news that they're getting out of him. And in addition to, you know, and I think it, obviously it's a different type of story, but when you look at his speech, He goes to make an economic speech, and what really encapsulates how he feels about the American public than giving the finger, and that ends up being like the main news story out of his speech. And you add that to what's happening in Minneapolis, and I'm not equating them, but just a sign of, like, you know, real rejection of the American voter, like really, like, just putting yourself at odds and insulting the American voter in a way that, you know, people, you know, are hearing loud and clear.
Margie O'Meara of the public opinion firm GBAO, thanks as always.
Thank you so much.
The Environmental Protection Agency used to assign a dollar figure to many of its regulations. How much money would they cost compared to the monetary value of its benefits? Now that's changing. Here's NPR's Alejandra Burunda.
The EPA and other agencies have long been required to assess the potential impacts of rules they're introducing or changing.
EPA has historically sort of looked at all of the costs and all the benefits of its regulations.
That's Jeffrey Homestead. He's an environmental lawyer at Bracewell LLC, and he used to lead EPA's Office of Air and Radiation under George W. Bush. So how does EPA do the math? They calculate the cost to the polluting industry to clean up. They compare that to the potential benefits of the rule, like better health. Often they put a dollar value on both, and that makes it easier to figure out the value of a regulation. Homestead says the agency has been doing it for decades.
EPA has since that time been attributing a very high monetized benefit number to reducing emissions of fine particles, also known as PM2.5.
That translates to hundreds of billions of dollars a year in savings. That's because
reducing exposure to fine particulate matter pollution improves health.
That's Mary Rice. She's a lung doctor and air pollution expert at Harvard University. Fine particles or soot are really bad for people's health. She says they cause some 50,000 premature deaths each year in the U.S.
PM2.5 also increases risk of heart attack and stroke, increased risk of asthma and bronchitis attacks in kids and adults.
EPA says it's not ignoring the health benefits from air regulations, but it's no longer going to put a dollar value on them. The agency writes past calculations haven't been precise enough. But that decision could make it easier to loosen air regulations. That's according to Richard Revez. He's a New York University environmental law expert. Revez says rollbacks can look good.
But it looks good only because you ignore the main consequence of the rollback, which is the additional negative impact on public health.
Revez says the Trump EPA has done this before. It has chosen not to count up the economic benefits of cutting greenhouse gases, for example. EPA says they're refining the methods for calculating economic benefits. But the timeline for that is open-ended. Alejandra Burunda, NPR News.
This is NPR News.
And you're listening to Morning Edition here on the Wednesday Morning Show. My name is Andrew DeZingle, and I'm joined by the one and only Heather Johnson.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's a little bit crisp and cold. It feels like winter, and I am okay with that.
Yeah, I was surprised it wasn't colder in terms of the temperature, what a temperature said, because it feels like it's freezing out there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're in for a little bit of snow, which could be good for Ski Palooza. So,
yes. So we'll talk about that in a bit. But okay. First, we got a text because, as we all know, it is National Hot Pastrami Sandwich Day.
Yes.
And we were talking about that. And we heard from Susan from Cotton. I was a waitress at a deli in New York City back in the 80s, and pastrami sandwiches were called pistols.
Oh, neat.
When you ordered from the very cantankerous line manager, rye piled high with the best coleslaw in the world and lean hot pastrami. Oh, they were fabulous.
Oi, Susan, that sounds amazing. I have this picture in my head. You're definitely in a uniform. I hope that's accurate. And it just sounds like the beginning of a really great movie, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sounds like a Jonathan Demme movie from the 80s, you know?
Yeah, of course I know. I was kind of getting like Cher movie vibes for some reason. Probably the New York setting, maybe. I'm not sure.
Yeah, but she was only in one New York movie, right?
I suppose.
Moonstruck?
I don't know.
Well, let's go through all the other ones. Come Back to the Five and Dime. Back to the Five and Dime? Jimmy Dean?
I don't know.
You don't know that movie?
I don't.
Okay. What about Witches of Eastwick? I don't think that was New York. That seemed to be like in a...
Actually, was that upstate New York?
Maybe it was upstate New York. I don't think it was New York City, though.
I'm not sure. I read the book, too. The book is also very good, but I don't completely remember the setting.
Do you know who directed Witches of Eastwick?
I don't.
George Miller. Do you know what he directed?
No.
The Mad Max series.
Really?
Goes from Mad Max to Witches of Eastwick.
Well, those were very successful movies. So.
He also made Lorenzo's Oil. Do you remember that movie?
It won a bunch of awards. I remember that. That was probably one of the first Oscars I paid attention to.
What makes that movie very interesting is Nick Nolte doing an Italian accent.
I don't remember that. I have seen the movie, but it's been a really long time.
I can do a Nick Nolte impression.
I would love to
hear a current Nick Nolte impression.
Okay.
Ah, Brandon. I'm your father.
I think it's accurate. I think so.
See, I was doing his character in the movie Warrior, which is a great movie, by the way.
Warrior, I haven't seen.
It came out in 2011, I think. Okay. And it's a... MMA movie, maybe even UFC, but it's about two brothers who are in the same tournament and they end up, spoiler alert, facing off each other at the end.
Oh, probably not much of a spoiler alert. Hey.
But their father is played by Nick Nolte.
How do you catalog all these movies in your head? That's not something I do. I wish I could.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of movies I've seen that I don't remember really at all. And especially like noir movies, like Beware My Lovely. That could be 10 different movies.
They do tend to blend. Yeah, there was a formula.
But for a more movie like Warrior, I remember that because I was living in Fargo when I saw it. And I remember everything from my Fargo days.
All right. Well, that's
we had that in common.
I don't know that I remember. I mean, yes, I lived in Fargo. Yes. That's true. This is true. I don't know that I remember it, you know, everything in such great detail. But...
I remember going to the Olive Garden with my friend, and it was the middle of the day, and we decided we were going to pretend to be a couple that was breaking up.
Oh,
next to a table family next to us.
Okay.
So I was doing bits even back then. And not even for the radio or TV. It was just for the life of it.
The zest of life. Exactly. Wow. That would be so entertaining. I mean, as the other couple, I would probably be into it very... you know, on the lowdown.
Also during my Fargo days, because I don't know why, but I decided to create a fake alias for myself for people that would come up to talk to me that I knew I wouldn't want to talk to for very long. And my name was Anthony, and I was a psychology major at NDSU.
That must have been wildly different than your actual identity. It's kind of like...
From an Andrew that's a mass communications major at BSU?
I mean, it's pretty so different. So different. The funny thing is, like, it's not that big of a town where you will never see the person again, right?
There's a good chance, though.
There's a pretty good
chance. Did you ever go to the OB? Old Broadway?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, that's where... the people I didn't really want to talk to hang out.
That makes sense.
But man, going back to the OB days, because they had the fog machine, they had the horn thing, you know, like, meh, meh. And at the time, Rihanna's We Found Love came out, and there was never a better time to be a young 20-something, being on the dance floor. We found love in a hopeless place. And then when the big You're drop happens right. and the fog machine goes off, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds pretty great.
I miss the dance floor, Heather.
I know. Well, we have a dance floor at KBXE.
That's true. We do have two dancing people on our windows, which we got third place for.
We got third place in our window contest. I don't know if we announced that, but
I don't know if we did announce that.
We got our certificate, and proudly displayed in the studio here, and it's we are determined to win first place next year.
Yeah. So for people who don't know what we're talking about, in downtown Bemidji, there is a competition for the best display for the holiday season. And a lot of businesses in downtown Bemidji participate. We participated for the first time last year.
Yep.
And this year we participated, and you and Larissa made this beautiful display of two silhouettes of people dancing with collage of colored tissue paper behind them. And we got third place in the competition. And this is tough. This is tough competition.
Tough competition. And, you know, having this win, it makes me more determined to win next year. First shall be ours. That's going to come down pretty soon, too, I think. Even though it's kind of beautiful when the light comes into the studio and all the colors are illuminated.
Yeah, when the sun comes up, it's very cool in here.
But I think people would probably also like to see out of the windows at this point.
What the weather is like, I have no idea.
Exactly. I'm looking forward to next year. If you have any super amazing ideas, I am accepting all of them. But we have some time.
Yeah, so thank you to all our listeners that may have voted for us. We appreciate it. You mentioned this earlier. Now I think it's time to talk about it. KBXE, we are going to be hosting Ski Palooza at Three Island Park in Bemidji Saturday, January 24th. It's going to be going on from noon to 3. So even though it's called Ski Palooza, we're encouraging people to do more than just cross country ski. Sure. Even though Three Island Park, great place to cross country ski.
It's a beautiful park.
But we're also encouraging snowshoes, fat tire bikes. Previous events that DJ Dang and I have been a part of previously, people would bring instruments and jam in the warming house. So that was always something that could possibly happen. Or you can just hang around, swap stories with people around the fire. We're also going to have a potluck, not meal per se, but maybe a bunch of like snacks type thing. So if you want to bring some snacks yourself, please bring them down. We're going to be hanging out at the Warming House at Three Island Park. That's going to be going on Saturday, January 24th. We're doing this because this was something that DJ Dang and I kind of talked about last year, and it seemed to be something that our listeners were wanting to be a part of. So now's your chance. We're going to be doing this on Saturday, January 24th.
It's going to be such a great, and it's a very, very low key, maybe a great way to meet some new people. And just get outside and hopefully we get a little bit more snow.
Yeah. So I got to cross country ski a couple weeks ago and it was like, I would say the perfect amount of snow.
Okay.
I'm hoping it's supposed to snow this Thursday. Yeah. So hopefully, and then also next week, maybe it'll snow and then we'll be set to go.
Oh, it'll be great. And you know, whatever your chosen recreation is, then you're all set to go because everyone is invited and there's a spot for everyone, the snowshoers and the fat tire riders and everyone else. It sounds like a great Saturday. So.
Yeah, so what else? Encourage people to do some outdoor activities in the winter. We've got so many activities available to us here. Why not take advantage of it?
Yeah, and it's always great to just, you know, meet some new people and and hang out. It's very, very low stakes, I would say. So yeah, come and hang out.
Excellent. So now it's time for a segment we do here regularly on the Wednesday morning show, where we play something from the vault, from the KBXE vinyl library. We've got a whole stack of records in the back there. And the one I'm going to play today is one of the coolest records I think we've got.
Yeah.
It is a Talking Heads live album. It's called The Name of This Band is Talking Heads. And we're going to play the first track from it. This is called New Feeling.
The name of this song is New Feeling. That's what it's about.
And that was the Talking Heads with New Feeling from the album. The name of the band is Talking Heads. You're listening to the Wednesday Morning Show. I'm Andrew DeZingle here with Heather Johnson. Programming is supported in part by University of Minnesota Extension, hosting woodland stewards from across Minnesota at the Minnesota Family Woodlands Conference, March 13th and 14th at St. John's University in Collegeville, teaching attendees practical ways to care for your woods and connect with others who are doing the same. More information on Facebook at My Minnesota Woods.
Support comes from Paul Bunyan Communications, powered by the GigaZone, offering fiber optic, fast internet speeds up to 10 gig, and GigaZone Wi-Fi to support devices wirelessly. Paul Bunyan Communications, Northern Minnesota's local broadband cooperative.
It's time now for best wishes. We do our best to wish our friends and neighbors happy birthday and happy anniversary for today, January 14th. First up, we have an anniversary, Rob and Jody Marone from Duluth, their 27th anniversary today. Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary, Rob and Jody. I've gotten to talk to Jody. She's like the sweetest person in the world.
Oh, nice.
And Sue Rickers, He's turning 58 today. Happy in Bemidji. Happy birthday, Sue. And David Hermerding has a birthday in Brainerd as well today. Thank you so much for being members, and we just hope you have the best day.
All right, now we're going to play you a tune. This is Wild Pink with ILYSM.
Alpha tree. And you.
And that was Wild Pink with the song ILYSM. If you have a birthday or anniversary to share, text us at 218-326-1234. It's the Back to Hack Festival in Hackensack, January 16th through the 18th. Activities include the Frostbite Your Fanny Fun Run, Snow Golf, Kids Games, Fireworks, and more. Joining us now to talk more about it is Diana Grundin. Welcome to the show, Diana.
Yes. Hi, I'm Deanna Grundin. Deanna. I'm owner of Tri Birches Resort in Hackensack. We're just out of the downtown area, but we have lots of stuff going on in downtown Hackensack with our Back to Hack this weekend.
Yeah, so let's talk about it. What are some of the things that'll be going on this weekend?
Yes, we do have a medallion hunt with our first clue happening tomorrow on Thursday the 15th. And that continues with clues throughout Friday. You get clue number two. Saturday, you get clues three, four, five, until it is found, all the way through Sunday. And then we also have some other things starting on Friday. There is a beer release at Rendezvous. There's dinner in a show over at the church. There's more trivia happening and a lot of things that, to be very honest, still happen in Hackensack over the winter. But on Saturday, that's where we really kick it up a notch, where we have our new ice rink that is open. We do have a winter version of our disc golf open. There is an indoor market and some other super fun things like a 2.5 mile fun run. Does anybody really run when it's that cold, though? Swap. But that's okay. Either way, we'll have you. You can register for that the day of at the visitor center. We also have some a snow golf challenge that's happening. We have a chili feed over at the Legion. There is a bake sale happening at the Legion as well, along with a kids scavenger hunt that will be a little bit shorter time, just Saturday afternoon. And then we have a new children's indoor fishing game over at Swanson's, so you can check that out as well. And one of the prized times to be a part of the Back to Hack is the Cuddle and Smooch that is happening at the Hackensack Hub this year with Pets from Paws and Claws. And I've been there. It's fantastic. You get to meet a whole bunch of puppies and kitties and cuddle them up, smooch them. And it's kind of like passing them around the room. It is fantastic and a great way to meet your new forever friend. And in the evening, then we also have the bonfire with free hot chocolate and fireworks that go off at 6 p.m. over Birch Lake. Our community does a lot of fundraising for these fireworks, so we can make that happen. And it is a pretty darn good show, if I do say so myself. We also have some more live music happening at Rendezvous with In Stereo. And then on Sunday, we have the auxiliary breakfast at the Legion. We have our raffle drawing. So if you haven't already bought your raffle tickets, you still have time to do that. And this year, we also have a snowman building contest that will be awarded at that time. The local businesses are currently building snowman without using any snow. So we've created snowman sculptures, if you will, without any snow, that are really cute around the downtown area. So do check that out. They will be on display all this week and into next. And then we have just a few other things happening over at the Birchwood Bar and Char House as well. So if you haven't been to Back to Hack, it is a great time to experience some fun stuff outside, experience our little town, and make it around to a number of our different businesses and restaurants, bars that are there as well, just to check us out.
Yeah, I think what makes this really stand out as a community event is, like, you know, after the holidays, the winter starts to feel a little bit more dreary because there isn't much to look forward to. But with Back to Hack, it's kind of an event going on to for the whole community to look forward to and communities outside of Hackensack.
Absolutely. Just wandering around town, you see how busy it is with people coming to and from some of the different places and doing the different things and watching them do the mini golf challenge and things like that outside. And it doesn't matter how cold it is. There's been some years, like last year, where it was super cold and windy, and yet we had townies and visitors, tourists come in and still play and still enjoy winter. So it is definitely a great way for all of us to, yes, get out of the house, maybe bundle up a little bit, and enjoy Minnesota in the wintertime.
I can confirm that because I went to Back to Hack in 2019, and I think it was like 35 below that day. And people were doing the polar plunge that day still. So it's...
Wow.
No matter the temp, it's happening.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was looking at the schedule here, and there's so much going on. It looks like so much fun. It must take a tremendous amount of coordination. Does all the planning take place like right after the last one? How do you put it together?
So we actually have a team of just shy of a dozen different members of the community that help put this together. We have been planning this since Sweetheart Days wrapped up, really. So that's our summer event that we have, as Minnesota always so has summer. So we celebrate those two seasons. But as soon as that wraps up, then we start planning our Back to Hack. And we've been quite blessed as a number of these events have been running for years. So there's a few things that we can just step into. However, it does take a team, it does take volunteers, and it does take planning. So if anybody ever wants to join, reach out to the chamber. We'd be happy to help have you.
So you mentioned the Snow Golf Challenge. I want to hear more about that. What does that entail?
So that entails one of our lovely team members go ahead and create a putt-putt course out of the snow that we have. And you get to go ahead and make a donation towards that to be able to win some fabulous prizes and things as well. But you get your chance to be able to get a hole in one with the mini putt that is right outside the backside of the chamber, right along the Paul Bunyan Trail. And there's also bonfires to help keep you warm while you're waiting, or just to hang out and enjoy the community as well.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you happen to know how long Hackensack has done Back to Hack?
That is an excellent question. I have been a member of the Hackensack community now only 4 years, and I believe that this has been going on since the 90s, maybe the 80s. It might go back even further. So I'm not able to confirm that because I'm still maybe a bit too new. I just know that it's been going on forever.
Well, so if people want to keep track of the events and the schedule going on, where can people find that information?
You can find that information on our chamber Hackensack visitors page. We do have a schedule that is up there. You can also find it in the Pine Cone Press. There's another schedule there. And you can also visit the website for the Hackensack Chamber as well.
Excellent. All right. Back to Hack begins this Friday, January 16th, and goes through Sunday. Thank you so much for joining us to talk about it.
You bet. Thanks so much, and we hope to see you there.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we're going to play a song for you now. This is from our album of the week, Dry Cleaning. This song is called Hit My Head All Day.
Life, a series of memorials and signals, telling us this or that, telling us this or this. Think of that. The objects outside there control the mind to arrange them.
This is The Set List on KAXE, where we highlight live music around the area for the upcoming week. I'm Malachi Coons. We are looking at four shows Thursday through Saturday, January 15th through the 17th in Aiken, Grand Rapids, and Park Rapids. First up, Rich Madsen and Jermaine Gemberling are playing a duo show at Sampaguita in Aiken Thursday at 6 o'clock. The Musical and Life Partners are getting ready to release another Rich Madsen and the North Stars album next month, and their duo shows are largely acoustic affairs, digging into their deep catalog of songs. It's Rich and Jermaine this Thursday at Sampaguita in Aiken. We're sticking in Aiken for Charlie Parr at the Ripple Center Friday at 6 p.m. The beloved folk blues artist sold out the venue the last time he visited and will be sure to draw a large crowd again. His most recent release was a novel called Five last year. Opening the show are Duluth-based Water Cats, who blend French pop and folk. Charlie Parr at the Ripple Center this Friday. Also Friday night, Americana and folk singer-songwriter Charlie Wagner is playing at Rapids Brewing in Grand Rapids at 7 p.m. Wagner released the Finding Home album last year with an accompanying multimedia book. And after this show, we'll have a book tour throughout northern Minnesota. It's Charlie Wagner this Friday night at Rapids Brewing. Finally, Corey Medina and Brothers are playing the Armory Arts and Event Center in Park Rapids Saturday night at 7 p.m. The Medina-led electric blues quartet are rounded out by Gary Brusty on bass, Rock Bolio on second guitar, and Eric Sundin on drums. The set list is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. We'll post the latest edition every Wednesday at kaxc.org.
All right, that was the set list hosted by Malachi Coons. And before that, we heard from our album of the week. Now, the album is called Secret Love by the band Dry Cleaning. Dry Cleaning are a British rock band from London, releasing their third full-length album. And they're known for vocalist Florence Shaw's deadpan spoken word delivery and unconventional lyrics over prominent bass lines and post-punk grooves. The song I played for you was longest... No, it was called Hit My Head All Day. I dig the album. Kind of on Dry Cleaning, I've only heard like a few songs from their last two albums, but this one, I made an effort before the Monday morning show to check it out, and I really dig it.
Yeah, I'm liking what I'm hearing. When I first heard, I think you told me what the album of the week was going to be, and I was like, oh, he's messing with me. There's no band called Dry Cleaning. But it turns out there is.
You say that a lot for when I talk about bands to you that I'm listening to.
Well,
you think I'm making them up?
Because sometimes you are. And now I'm suspicious.
What about clap your hands, say yeah? You thought I was making that up. Just kidding.
Same with car seat headrest. Because I think you had said something like...
Two-door cinema club.
Yeah. Oh, yes, which I thought was like Henry VIII Tudor, not two-door. So, yeah. But the car seat headrest one was funny because you're like, what do you think about car seat headrest? And I'm like, you know what? They're always just a little bit too high and they pitch my head forward because I'm short. And you're like, what are you talking about? It's a band.
And then you said, what are you talking about?
Exactly. And it was the whole thing. And then we didn't talk for 2 weeks. It was very awkward.
So we also heard from the text line, I did my perfect Nick Nolte impression from the movie Warrior.
It was stunning.
And Mike and Brainerd said Nick Nolte was absolutely incredible in Warrior. And I absolutely agree. He got nominated for Best Supporting Actor that year for Warrior. I don't remember who he lost to. Gosh, that was the year of The Artist winning Best Picture. So I'm trying to think of
still haven't seen it. It's been a long time.
I didn't like it, so we'll see what you think. I like Jean Desjardins, though. I like saying his name, at least.
Well, who
he
doesn't?
Won Best Actor.
That's coming up, too, so I have to make sure that I've watched all the 2025 movies before the Oscars.
Yeah, we had the Golden Globes this past weekend. Award season is in full swing.
Yeah.
And if you're going to us for advice of what movies you need to check out before the Oscars this year, I would say One Battle After Another.
Oh, okay. I think
it's going to win Best Picture. That's my prediction.
Okay.
And Sinners is another movie you should see, the vampire movie.
I have that written down. I haven't seen it yet.
Marty Supreme, I think Timothy Chalamet is going to win Best Actor, so that's why I would recommend seeing that. It's also my favorite movie of last year.
Oh,
I haven't seen Hamnet yet, but that's going to be a strong contender this year as well.
It looks very good. I watched the trailer this weekend. I also watched Begonia.
Oh.
Wow. Wow. I will say that it's not for everyone.
It is a very odd movie.
It's an odd movie. It's a little gory, but it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. Very creative, very unlike anything else I've ever seen, except maybe Poor Things.
Which is the same director.
Made by the same person.
Yorgos Lanthimos.
Yeah.
The Greek filmmaker.
But I do hope it wins. It is a very odd movie, but I do hope it wins something because I was blown away by this movie. It was very creative, very well acted. And then just some of the things were so surprising. You know how If you're a movie watcher, you come to expect certain things, and I expected not much of it. So I hope that does well, too, but I have a bunch to catch up on. So
yeah, and there's still ones I want to see. Like, I want to see The Secret Agent, which is a Brazilian film that has not been available to watch yet in our area.
Okay.
I'm kind of hoping Hamnet's going to be available in February. I just have a feeling it's going to be available in February to watch in theaters.
Yeah,
I think they're going to do a wider release.
Yeah, they had a bunch that came to streaming like right before the Oscars last year. Mm-hmm. So,
and If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You, the Rose Byrne movie. She won the Golden Globe for Best Actress in a Musical or Comedy. I think she's going to get nominated, which would be so cool because very rarely do like comedic, especially dark comedy movies, get nominated. And that's going to be available on HBO streaming on January 30th. You heard it from me first, folks.
You are so, I just can't get over how you have this all planned out. So it's enviable.
That's Heather Johnson. I'm Andrew DeZingle. We are your Wednesday morning show crew. Today, we receive support from the Bonner Eye Clinic with locations in Grand Rapids and Hibbing, offering cataract surgery, LASIK, and general eye exams. BonnerEyeClinic.com. Let us help you see clearly.
And we receive support from Hot Tubs of Northern Minnesota, a middle school avenue in Bemidji, offering hot tubs, pool tables, saunas, and more.